Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to week one of the new Proverbs series. My name is Vince and I will be your host for week one. Excited to be here and back in the saddle so quick. It's a very fantastic book and a little bit of a fun journey that we're going to go through. We'll be, over the next 4 weeks, we'll be taking a look at just a smattering of Proverbs and little points of interest. But today I'll start off with some origin stories on where the book of Proverbs comes from. And then we'll dip into a few Proverbs to help give it some application. Pause with me, would you, and let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would use this time, open our ears to what you have for us, all the other stuff, the cares of the world, let us put it aside for 30 minutes. Lord, speak to our hearts that we would hear from you, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Proverbs. Proverbs is a collection of anecdotes, little sayings, small stories, very short put together collection, a compilation of books primarily written by Solomon, who was the son of David and Bathsheba. It also has the author Agur and King Lemuel also did chapter 31. So of them, 1 to 29, Solomon, 30, Agur, 31, King Lemuel. Now, how did Solomon get all of these wisdom pieces together? It's said that he wrote over 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs. He's an avid writer, but it's kind of his own journey on how he got to this point. Well, many of us know the story of David and Bathsheba and kind of what brought, you know, things to that point. And Solomon was the son who lived, and the Lord had something special going on for him that was unlike anything anyone had ever experienced before, or it says would ever experience again, with how much knowledge and wisdom he would have. And here we'll jump in just briefly, 1 Kings 3 and 11. Now, what Solomon had asked for was the Lord came to Solomon in a dream. And the Lord said to him, tell me anything. What is it you want? And it's yours. Tell me what you want and it's yours. The Lord was so baffled with Solomon's response that he said, what you've asked for, I'm going to give you that, but I'm going to give you these other things too, because I'm so blown away by your maturity in the whole thing. It says, you have asked for wisdom, not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor for the death of your enemies, but instead for discernment in administering justice. He wanted to be made smart to govern the Lord's people. And the Lord was like, that is so outstanding. You know, sometimes we think in that, like, the magic lamp and rubbing, waiting for the genie to come out, and what would we ask for? And so, you know, common things, make me richer beyond rich, make me a prince, make me a person of like, noteworthy, so I have popularity and admiration and love of the people. Wipe out the people who are against me. Make me live for forever. And Solomon came with, help me be wise so I can administer justice to the people. Lord was super impressed. But it doesn't mean that Solomon always acted on the wisdom that the Lord gave him. In fact, there's all sorts of funny stories. In the end, I think Solomon had like 700 wives and 300 concubines. And you know, a bunch of the opening proverbs are like, don't get messed up in adultery. And so it's just kind of like a funny take on, he had a certain lifestyle things that, you know, weaknesses that he bowed to, but that the Lord had gave him the smarts to not do it. I find that absolutely fascinating. Interesting little side story. It's only partially mentioned in the scripture, 1 Kings 10, 13, and another piece in 2 Chronicles 9, 12. That King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, and more. And it's like, and more. Well, you start going through, and so there's the story of Solomon, the wisest man. He's not making mistakes, right? He's King Solomon the Wise. And so he turns out that he has this thing for the Queen of Sheba. Wealthy, she comes and brings him all sorts of gifts and precious things and beautiful bounty. And so she comes along and brings these things, and it says that he gave her more than in return than that, but he gave her everything she asked. And it's an Ethiopian Jewish tradition that she had a son by him. But she came to the palace and said, like, here's all these gifts, but no hanky-panky. This is not happening. The Queen of Sheba, this isn't going on. But Solomon, using his devious and his wisdom, he started off the evening before anyone got there by putting a drink on the bedside table. He said, stay the night. There won't be any hanky-panky, but you can't take anything from my kingdom. So he fed her this amazing spicy dinner, a dinner filled with spices. She had a great time, party atmosphere. She comes in to spend the evening. No funny business. No hanky panky is going to happen. But her mouth is on fire, and he says, "If you take even anything from my kingdom, then the deal's over." And so, sure enough, so none of that is recorded that way in the scripture. It's one of those. It's not even an urban legend. It's an oral tradition in the Ethiopian Jews, the son of the Queen of Sheba, and that the dad is Solomon. It's the telling the story that even though he was the wisest of men, that he still did dumb junk. And it helps, like his father before him, who also did dumb junk, kind of sets that track record for setting an expectation. What is wisdom? What is that all about? Where does it begin? And let's get into it. Proverbs 1:1-7. And this will be up for you to read. These are the proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and discipline, for comprehending words of insight, and for receiving instruction in wise living and in righteousness, justice, and equity, to impart prudence to the simple and knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and gain instruction, and the discerning acquire wise counsel by understanding the proverbs and parables, the sayings, and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Well, kind of as we start unfolding some things, Proverbs raises some fantastic ethics questions, some things that are sometimes hard for us to hear, because sometimes when we're reading into them, we're like, I think I'm being called a fool. And so you have to kind of get your fortitude on that the Lord has this high benchmark of his values, of his ideals, but not even Solomon nor his father before him was able to hit the mark, but he gave it a spin. Proverbs raises questions of values, moral behavior, the meaning of life, right conduct, and its theological foundation is based in the fear of God. And, you know, if you've heard that phrase, put the fear of God into you. That person had the fear of God in them. And sometimes fear is like, you know, equated negatively. It's more like an awe, a respect, an acknowledgement of authority, as opposed to I'm afraid of God. It's a, like, magnitude of God kind of respect. And so the beginning of knowledge begins at that point of understanding the awe and the reverence of the Lord. Now, before we get into some examples, there's one kind of key grounding thing that is the key point to success as laid out in Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, this is the Bible talking, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. The premise is taken further in the Gospels by Jesus in the parables, where often examples of like the sower and the seed. The seed was planted in his heart, you know, and it grew, you know, the 5, 10, 100 times. Or be careful that, you know, there's not weeds in your heart, so that it can't grow, or that the weeds choke out the good growing thing. And so it's out of the heart that the abundance flows. It's out of the heart the fruit is born. Trust comes out of the heart. It's the cultivation spot. And so things get rolling with Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Have you ever been I take this as an example where, like, trust. And sometimes when a situation pops up and you feel like, I don't trust this situation, I don't trust the person I don't trust. It could even be something trivial or stupid. It's like when you can't find the remote. Maybe that happened to you this morning when you went to flip on the video. And you can't find the remote and you're like, do you have the remote? And you point to that other person in the room. It's like, no, I don't have the remote. Huh. Are you sitting on the remote? I don't think I'm sitting on the remote. Huh. Okay, get up. And you've just got, your trust is for whatever reason has happened in life, you were cultivated with a distrust. Perhaps that person has messed with you one too many times, one too many things has popped up where you're like, I don't trust you. And out comes something born out of that mistrust. And it happens, you know, in these trivial things, but it happens in business. It happens in your workplace. It happens with family and relationships. These little things that are happening along the way in your personal journey is your heart. And that cultivating, so the encouragement from the Proverbs is guard your heart. Cultivate it for whatever you, however well you tend it, out of it will flow the next thing. Trust, as an example. If it's filled with mistrust, you got that weeding process to do in order to make sure you don't get a place where you're yelling at your family because you don't trust them. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic illustration. It's such an oddity. But I got to squeeze this one in here because I'm sick like that. Proverbs 18:17. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone cross-examines. It's the fantastic, of course, for those of you who are in or pay a little attention on the news, or your TikTok or your YouTube has been flooded with Johnny Depp Amber Heard stories. What happened there? You've got this situation that is blown apart. And, it all came down today where he won the defamation case, but I don't know who really wins in this story. It's overall a very sad tale of viciousness. But when it came up, you hear that first testimony. And these are the types of things that you'll find in a proverb. These little nuggets for life. In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right. The first person to get to mom or dad, why do you want to be first? Because you want to tell your side of the story, and then the other person has to not only defend themselves, but that story, which is often a half-baked story. You want to be the one to get to something first, which is a understanding as well that other people are going through other things, and it's not always as clear-cut as only understanding half of a story. It's part of our responsibility to try and pick out all the pieces. Some people are just a little neurotic or have something going on. I think it's because they're both vegans. And if you haven't eaten meat in a few years, that'll do that to you. That's exactly what's going on. Which, as an aside, if two vegans are having a rivalry with one another, is it still called a beef? I just want you to think about that. If nothing else is taken away today, just think about that. You see, these proverbs, these little nuggets from Solomon are here to help you navigate. They're just little tidbits. And so jump in, fill in with your own stories, the things that maybe impact you. I'm just going to go through, three or four, just a little quick Proverbs, make comment on them, and we'll wrap it up from there. Proverbs 18:2. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. Proverbs 12:16. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Oh man, I was downtown with a buddy, and he got me tickets for he and I to go see a band at the Vogue. And so I was like, sure. He doesn't know Jesus, and I love him. And so I'm like, man, this sounds like a fun time. Let's go hang out. We'll go to the Vogue. We'll go see your band. We get down there, and he had a bit of a week, and he's packing back some drinks. And I can tell he's just kind of, things are heading that way for him. And that's kind of how the night is progressing. Well, after the show was done, he's like, hey, do you want to pop in a restaurant, grab a bite to eat? It's like, yeah, buddy, we're already downtown. Let's do it. Let's grab something. He's having a few more drinks, and then he gets into it. He starts lighting up and with the alcohol talk. And this is one of those things that can happen. And the next thing you know, it's the church this, and the church is full of, money grubbing, losers, and that's what it's all about. It's just a big scheme to get your dollars, and then if you're not a part of that, then you're probably a pedophile. And it's like, what? And these insults are coming out. I'm like, I love the church. I love my church. This isn't how things, like, I didn't do that. But the venom, it started coming out, and the booze was talking. And I'm like, I could hear it. If this is the kind of thing where I jump in to retaliate in a, like, well, you know, and lay into him, I'm the fool for arguing with the drunk. I'm the fool for diving in and taking these things and putting them in my heart like it's against me. Like, I didn't do it. Like, of course, there's been terrible atrocities. Things have happened in history. It wasn't me. I'd be like saying, I didn't, crimes with cars. It'd be like if a crime with a car happened and, it's like, well, you have a car, so you did this. It'd be like someone trying to take my car away when I didn't even commit a car crime. And you're like, how could that ever happen when, someone take away something that where you didn't even do anything wrong? And these situations pop up where I didn't do that. But if I jump in, I'm the fool. I'm the fool. And so this is kind of like a little wisdom proverb. Do I let him plant a seed in my heart? Do you let that person with that hurled insult? You see, fools show their annoyance at once. Don't get me wrong, I was annoyed, but I didn't show it. I wasn't caving to this moment because I know how this story goes. So what are we going to be downtown in this fisticuffs and this yelling match over, what the church did and the hospital, and there's St. Paul's, yeah, the evil church. So it's a tricky place, but I'm not going to engage on that because I'm not an idiot. Fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. What am I supposed to do? In these situations, I've got examples that Solomon has written out for me to follow in this way. The challenge of our day is thinking that everyone is foolish and stupid, and that other people's opinions don't matter. I think it's valuable to understand, okay, what is he saying? And then I might have thoughts, and we did talk about it later, in a different environment. But at the time, it's just not worth the getting into. I want to be a prudent person. I don't want to be yelling at him and get into like being condescending, because condescending it's not great. That means when you talk down to people. That's what condescending means. Okay, a little something for you. Lighten up the moment. Where do you go with a proverb like that? Don't let a fool plant seeds in your heart. tend your garden. Above all else, guard your heart. Be prudent. That's what I take away. Just a little example of that. Now, here's a fascinating one to me. A proverb on hope. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. The Good News Translation talks about it this way. When hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. When hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. Romans 8:25 says, but if we hope for something we don't have, we wait for it patiently. Now, when we think about things like in this delayed gratification, a hope deferred can make the heart sick. It's possible that sometimes when you're waiting for something for too long, your faith just tanks out. But when you see the fruit of something, you got that act of faith is believing that thing is on the way. That thing is on the way. That answer to prayer, that loved one who is away from Jesus. I've been praying that prayer for 15 years. I haven't seen it yet. Don't give up your hope. Because when it comes through, a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. It springs up something good inside of you. And there's value in that. I moved into my house about 16 years ago. And, you know, we're just broke, you know, doing life. At that point, we had a couple kids and, you know, it is what it is. We love each other, love our family, but not an extra ton of money on the side. Can't boohoo. I'm in a nice house, all the rest of that, but it starts coming up where it's like, well, like, what's going to go in this room? And my wife and I, we are savers. It's not something that we struggle crazy with. We can, kind of bear down and make it happen. So when it came up to furniture for our home, we had some particular things. We knew we could, like, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so, I've got an old couch. Do you want that? It's like, we could have. There were some specific things we wanted to, like, these specific couches, and because my dining room space is a little narrower, so I wanted this specific dining room table with these specific chairs so I get more chairs in, so I get more people around the table. We had some kind of things laid out, but we're broke. And so it's one of those conflicting things. If you're going to be broke, you need to be able to wait. The longing fulfilled is a tree of life. We would have people come over to our house and be like, come on in. It's like, and this would be an empty room. Like, this is the main entrance. It's like, there's nothing there. It's like, this is where the couch is going to be. This over here is the dining room. I know there's no dining room yet, but it's coming. It was like that for, I don't know how many months, a couple years maybe, where we refuse, though, to jump in to debt for things. And so you have to be able along the way, if you're choosing, I will not go into debt for stuff. There's things like your mortgage that you kind of got to bite that bullet and pay that off over time. But just like, you know, the little things, the couch, the whatever, do I need to go into indebtedness for that? Or can I save? That longing fulfilled is a tree of life. When you're saving for something, in and along the way, it's so much more meaningful when that time comes. It's like, yeah, and you like smash the piggy bank open and out come the nickels. There's something valuable about that. And it's not just my opinion. There was it's called the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment. And the gist was that you would give a child a marshmallow. Said at any point in the next 15 minutes, you can eat the marshmallow. Excuse me. At any point in the next 15 minutes, you can eat the marshmallow, but if you can wait 15 minutes, I'll give you a second marshmallow. It's the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment. The message was small reward now or a bigger reward later. Now, of course, some children broke down and just ate their marshmallow straight away. But there was a group of them that were able to get past it and get that coveted two marshmallows. The interesting part of that story is that amongst the kids who waited, when they were reevaluated as teenagers and adults, They demonstrated, the article reads, demonstrated a striking array of advantages over their peers. As teenagers, they had higher SAT scores, higher social competence, self-assuredness, self-worth, and were rated as more mature, better able to cope with stress, more likely to plan ahead, and more likely to use reason. And so, whether it was that experiment or the way that their parents, the way that their parents raised them, or you know, whatever life experience brought them that way, it was an experiment to show that when you waited, you delayed gratification for something, that good things came. And so, Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Little practical lessons on not grabbing whatever your heart wants at the moment, but delaying it. Maybe you're, something that you're working through. That's the encouragement for you. Final one before we conclude today. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Having enough information requires you often to hear from multiple people and multiple points of view. You don't have to agree with them all, but if you are shut down from listening, that's the challenge. Many advisors will equal success, but plans fail for a lack of putting people around you, trying to go rogue, going solo because you don't have the information. Oh man, I was at a wedding over this last weekend. Our friends Mike and Caitlin got married, so beautiful. Often it's said of a bride that she's glowing. And she was. She was radiant. She's totally glowing. Now, if you're to tell me, you know, young man, I met this girl and she's glowing. Well, you know, what do you think? Well, that's part of the information. He's like, no, she's like glowing. It's like, well, is she like radiating? Yeah, she totally radiates. Well, is this Miss Fukushima? Is this like Miss Chernobyl? Is she glowing because she's filled with radiation? Is that why she's glowing? Like, does she have a nice greeny hue around her because she's glowing? And I need more information on is she glowing? Why is she glowing? I don't know. It's just not enough information to make any assessment. Like, what's she like? You know, what's her personality like? If I would give these kind of things to my son, it's not enough to just go, oh, she radiates. It's like, well, that sounds real nice until it's radiating because she's from, like, Three Mile Island. So there's more to it. And I need more information if I'm going to make smart decisions. Often we're blinded in and of ourselves, and it requires more input than just me feeling like, you know, I'm the adult in this situation, and I got this, and I don't need other people's input, and I'm smart enough, and I'm wise, and I got this. I got to figure it out. It's like, probably not. We had a few years back was Father's Day, and Father's Day is coming up. Yeah, in a couple weeks, there's still time to get my dad something super awesome and expensive. And it was Father's Day at the church, and we wanted to give out a little something. And Pastor McDonald Sr., the Bishop McDonald, was doing this thing on stress and relieving pressure. And we thought, oh, it'll be fun to give people like a tire pressure gauge. And it's like, that's a great idea. And so for whatever reason, it landed on Vince McLaren to take care of that. And I suck at that kind of stuff. But I'm like, you know, I'm like, yeah, I got this, boss. Like, no problem. I got this sorted out. We'll make sure everything works. The graphic is nice. The words are all good. And I just ran with it, and I did it myself. I put the image that I thought would be good. The words I thought would be good. Didn't get anybody to check anything. Signed off on the final copy, the one that ends up going to the company that prints these things onto the tire pressure gauge. Everything's great. I'm the man. I'm the dude. I did it all by myself. Sourced the company, figured it all out, communicated with them, got the thing. Church colors, woo! I'm feeling it. One little detail is because I did every last little bit myself, I also put the wrong church website on and sent everybody to calvary.com, which is some church in the States. I don't even know if it's a cult. I don't know what it is. But I sent everybody there, calvary.com, on the pressure gauge, because our address is calvary.ca. And you'd think I'd know that, seeing how I'm the one who selected it. When you're relying on yourself for everything, you're like, you're just gonna take it all on yourself. Are you gonna not get any input from anybody? The encouragement from the Proverbs is, don't do it. Talk to people. Put some trust out there. Put that extra measure. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Sometimes we don't put stuff out there because we want to kind of prove ourselves, or we want to give the illusion that we have every last thing together. It doesn't mean you have to take every last bit of advice, but if you don't have the knowledge to work from, you're just going to make poor choices. That's just how that goes. You're getting more pieces of information. And so the encouragement from Solomon in through this proverb is, get lots of people around you with different perspectives. I don't have to agree with them all. I don't have to love them all or say, because you're here, I'm going to choose you. But you do need to hear from a variety of people, particularly when you're making big choices. We were talking earlier, marriage or homes or these sorts of things. Get people around you and get some input. Don't feel like you got to run this race alone. Well, we're excited for the next upcoming a few weeks, and Pastor Steve will undoubtedly be jumping in some more from there. But let me pause and pray for you. Now, maybe one of these particular proverbs twinged off something within you. And overall, you're like, well, maybe that one wasn't for me, but I know that there's more coming, so hang tight. But if one of those things hit you, I want to pray for you right now. Yeah, that the Lord would work out something. Don't beat yourself up. We're all working through things. No one's perfect. Don't beat yourself up. Yeah, the Lord's not done with you yet. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you for my friends working through the things that they're working through. We'd ask, Lord, you would grant wisdom. In the same way you teach us in James that if any one of us lacks wisdom, that you would grant it to us liberally. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from your word. We need to hear from your people. Lord, we need to hear from you, however you choose to speak to us. Lord, and in particular in these areas, Lord, for whatever my friends might be needing today, supply it according to your riches and glory in Christ. We want to hear from you this upcoming week as we are transformed to be more and more like you each day. We ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.